Today on Real Life Radio.
Understand this. You can say anything you want. Jesus said, you are either 100% for me or you're against me. And to be neutral is to be against him. A.W. Tozer said, neutrality is the place where the coward stands.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When Kingdoms Collide. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke the physician could do. Here now we'll continue in chapter 11 as we consider how the ministry of Jesus here on earth was well predicted in the Old Testament, where demon possession and satanic influence collide with the power of God. You see, in this chapter, two kingdoms are in conflict, and Jesus will draw the line between these two worlds. When it comes to the spirit world, there is no neutral ground, and there's no place for impartial onlookers. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we've not yet begun to see the levels and powers of deception that are coming to this world. We can expect great signs and wonders from the occult at any time and anywhere. It's why we need to have the Bible in our hands and in our hearts like never before. But before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now with his message called When Kingdoms Collide. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
When kingdoms collide, what happens? You and I are sitting here right now, somewhat comfortable, I hope, very comfortable, I hope, unaware of the fact, maybe not conscious of the fact, that in the realm that's around us, passing through us, just on the side of physical things, what is really existing in a grand scale is that which you and I cannot see right now. Did you know that? See, you and I are so conditioned to believe in what we see. But there's a greater world among things that cannot be seen. For example, there are radio waves passing through these walls, going right through you and I right now. Radio waves of different frequencies. Look at those of you who didn't turn off your cell phones. That's another hint. Turn off your cell phones. The cell phone is receiving satellite information, beaming down through the sky, through the roof, into your pocket, into your purse. There's information. There's television waves and microwaves and all kinds of things. There's sound emanating, the very sound of my voice. You see my lips moving, but if you didn't have the proper apparatus in your ears working correctly, those waves that are landing in your ears, what's making you or causing you to hear? Invisible things. The Bible says that the invisible things are much more real and have a great long-lasting value than visible or temporal things. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you need to get smart and realize that invisible things. You're breathing air right now, aren't you? It's invisible to our naked eye. Jesus is going to introduce us to the fact that there is a realm of light and there's a realm of darkness. There are angelic angels, there are good angels, and there's very bad angels. Did you know that? We call them angels, but some are white or light, and some are dark and dangerous. There are demons. There's activity in the world. And most of what's going on, by far, is invisible to us. There are kingdoms in conflict. There are worlds in collision. There are scientists that have written many volumes of books suggesting and stating of the fact that there's very possibly a world that's going on right in between us that's just slightly molecularly different than what you and I exist in. The book written by Emanuel Velikovsky years and years ago wrote about worlds in collision, and people thought he was crazy. And now today, with modern technology, that very concept is more than just a dream. And so we're looking at a series of amazing events that Jesus Christ ministered to, but today what he does and says to us and what is said to him is quite shocking to us. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be placed in a box. I don't like to be reduced to a pigeonhole type of place. But yet, this morning, you're going to hear something that is going to tempt you to revolt against that. Because you're going to hear Jesus say, you're either for me or you're against me. And as humans, we don't like that. We're either for something or we're against something. And if we are somewhat undecided, what do? We take the middle ground. There's Republican, Democrat, and Independent. Well, I'm going to be independent on this. I'm going to be neutral on this. You can be neutral on a lot of things. But be very, very careful about this. You cannot be neutral regarding spiritual things. This morning you can say, well, I'm going to be, no matter what you say. Understand this. You can say anything you want. Jesus said, you are either 100% for me or you're against me. And to be neutral is to be against him. A.W. Tozer said, neutrality is the place where the coward stands. I'll just bow out of this one. Listen, spirituality, Christianity, eternity is a non-spectator sport. It's for real. Luke chapter 11, verse 14, and as he was, or Jesus was, casting out a demon, it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out of the man that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others, testing Jesus, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, both camps, he knew the thoughts of them both, those who accused him and slandered him of being in league with Satan, and those who wanted to see him do some astronomical, some heavenly miracle. He said here, the Bible says here, that he knew their thoughts. Every kingdom, Jesus said, verse 17, divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overtakes him or overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit or a demon goes out of a man, listen, he goes through waterless places or arid, dry regions, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other demons, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state or condition of the man is worse than the first. My goodness, what is he talking about? Listen, Jesus is introducing us to the fact that demonic activity is real. And before the crowd, there is a man who is demon-possessed, and apparently from the outside, visually, you see nothing strange and odd. He's a man possessed. He's not foaming at the mouth. He's not gnawing on a tree or barking like a dog. He's a man possessed, but it's manifested in the fact that he cannot speak. You might say, well, Jack, does that mean that people who cannot speak, are they possessed? No, it doesn't mean that. In this case, a demon has entered this man and has, in the Greek, bound up his tongue with chains. Does that mean the man had chains hanging out of his mouth? No. In the spirit realm, this demon has seized the man's ability to speak. Why would a demon do this? I don't know. I just know this. That even in a life that is under great attack by satanic powers, it is God's desire to set that person free. It is God's desire to liberate. It's Jesus' heart to reveal the very heart and mind of his Father in heaven above by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we shall see. Jesus clearly teaches us that there's a line that is drawn between light and darkness, between the powers of heaven and hell. Most often we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. But it's true nonetheless. And so we understand this. In our study, point number one, When kingdoms collide, what can we expect? What can we think of? When kingdoms collide, verses 14 to 16, you'll have to choose sides. You'll have to choose sides. That's the whole thrust behind what Jesus is saying. He liberates the man and sets him free, but he turns to those who are attacking what Jesus is doing, or they want to see some other form of miracle, and Jesus clearly states that sides need to be chosen. Verses 14 to 16. Look at verse 14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. The first thing I want you to see here is that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone is in control. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I want to tell you something very quickly. Many of you already know this. All my life, I grew up not being mute, but almost. I stuttered so bad. And even when I came to Christ, I still stuttered so terribly from the age of 19 on, but the Lord healed me one day later on in life. But let me tell you something. To not have the ability to speak clearly is terrifying. Why? Because if you want to say something to somebody, you can't do it. Just that, by the way, if you know anybody who stutters, you need to love on them. I'm here to tell you. I had things done to me. I'm not going to tell you the things that were done to me by people who thought it was funny that this guy stutters. But I got to tell you now, I'm so grateful for everything that I went through. Because here's the cool thing about it. I love you. You know that. I love you. But the great thing is because God's touched my life, I care about what he thinks about what I do, say, and minister as or like. I don't need the approval of people. Is it nice to have? It's wonderful to hear stories like that woman I told you about in Hawaii. That's fantastic, but do I need it? No. Why? Because my Father in heaven, his grace and his mercy came down upon my life. And when you, in your need, say, God, touch my life, and he sets you free. Listen, when you have the smile of heaven, you don't need smiles from anywhere else. And this man, who was he? We don't know. How long had he been shut up to the world? We don't know. But what a great frustration. He looked normal. I wonder if people asked him, say something. Can't you say anything? Say something. What's wrong with you? What did he do? Did he make strange looks with his face? How do you communicate? I could understand being in a coma. You're in a coma. But can you imagine being, as it were, in a living coma? And what if the man was educated or not? If he was not educated, he couldn't write. He was locked inside. By the way, isn't this a picture of everyone who doesn't know Jesus yet? They're locked inside. The real you, God has made, but you need to be born again, Jesus said. You need to come out from the lost condition that you're in. You need to come out from yourself, so to speak. Think about it. You say, Jack, I don't need Jesus to have meaning and purpose. I just need $1 million. By the way, that's not much money anymore, is it? You look around, people who have everything. I want to argue that if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, if you're rich or poor, tall, short, whatever, you're locked inside your body and you've got nothing to say. Jesus needs to set you free and he wants to set you free. And you'll either accept him this morning or you're going to reject him, because that's the crowd and that's the heart of the crowd. They're either for him or they're against him.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible says here that he was casting out the demon. Note this, that he's in control. Yes, he was casting out a demon. The word in the Greek means, by the way, that he didn't do it instantly. He had done that before. He didn't do it instantly. In a matter of moments, he was casting out the demon. The demon was being expelled from the man. It suggests that there was some sort of manifestation that the demon was coming out of the guy. That's freaky. That's weird. But Jesus' heart is for this man. God loves him. What do you think this is in the Bible for? Yes, to show you the opposition and to determine where you're at with God. But notice the heart of God. God is reaching this man to love him. That the God of heaven and earth would come down in human form and reach out to a man who cannot speak. Don't you ever think that you are beyond God's love and grip He's reaching for you even now, though you may not even believe in him. He reaches for you. This man was hurting. You guys, I saw a great picture of this, though I didn't realize it at the time. There was this, at the airport, traveling this week, there was this beautiful family that got off the airplane, mom and dad, and their three or four little kids. So cute. And one of the little guys, I think he was the littlest guy, little guy, about 4 years old, and he had a little backpack getting off the airplane. And he probably had, you know, tissue paper in the backpack, but it looked funny because the backpack was almost as big as him, and he's walking along. And the brothers and sisters walk by, the mom and dad walk by, and he's the little guy. He's gone. And I'm leaning against the wall, and I see him coming, and I look at him. He's just absolutely a doll. And he walks by me, and I'm looking at him. I kind of feel responsible for what was about to happen. I'm looking at him, and I go like this, waving at him, and he's looking at me. He's got his little straps right here. And he walks right into a chair. Boom! I looked the other way. I felt horrible. And it really hurt the kid. He got hit at an unfortunate location. And he's down. He's just screaming. And everybody had passed. They had gone. And Dad turns around. Watch this. Dad turns around and runs back. And he gets on his knees. And he goes, "Come here, buddy. Come here, buddy." And the little kid comes over there. And he's screaming. And listen to what the dad says. The dad says, "What's bigger than a boo-boo? What's bigger than a boo-boo? Come on, buddy. What's bigger than a boo-boo?" And the kid goes, "A kiss." And he goes, "That's right, buddy." And that dad and that little boy, they're smooching on each other and hugging each other. What's bigger than a boo-boo? A kiss. Isn't that a cute, cool thing? And I thought for a moment, you know what? I need to remember that for Sunday. What's bigger than a boo-boo? And in the areas of getting hurt, what's bigger than a boo-boo? God's kiss, God's love, God's care. And concerning demonic activity and a man being possessed and scary things that go bump in the night, boo! What's bigger than a boo-boo is the love of God for you. You don't ever have to be afraid. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you. That is the reference to the Holy Spirit than he that is in the world. Amen. That's for the believer. Only the believers can say amen to that, by the way, because it's a reference to the Holy Spirit living in a believer. So listen, I'm going to give the verse again, and then those of you who are believers say amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You guys pay so much attention. Not only is Jesus in control, he's casting out the demon, and the man that was mute is now freed, but the crowd marvels. Look at the power, because the Lord alone is the power. You and I will have to choose. You're going to have to choose about who's going to be in control of your life, and you're going to have to choose about what power will be in your life. If you say self, you're in big trouble, because you're vacant. You have a sign written across your face. Vacancy. Open wide. Empty mind, clear as a slate, come on in. Just know this, anything and everything will come on in. And if you start tampering with the wrong things, the Bible teaches us clearly that even spiritual darkness can come on in. Note the power alone is the Lord's. But some of them said, some of the people said, that he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Now, Beelzebub is an interesting word. Baal. You recognize that. Zebub, this was a term given by the Hebrews to mock the pagan gods of those in Ekron and other parts. There's Baal, and you fill in the blank. There's all kinds of gods in paganism. Baal is an aberrant Babylonian god. Zebub is this, god of or lord of the flies or things that fly. It's also translated in some of your margins, which is accurate. Lord of dung. Do you know what dung is? Do I need to elaborate that? For those of you who are French, Lord of doo-doo. Lord of Bandini. The Hebrews would say, Beelzebub. A reference to Satan. Lord of the flies. Lord of the dung. These who were there saw what Jesus had done, and they chose a side. They didn't want to accept Jesus' message. They only wanted parts of it. They picked and chose what they wanted, but when push came to shove, they saw what had happened. Jesus gets all of the glory, and he should. Jesus gets all the attention, and he should. All because he loves this man. And those that were antagonistic against Jesus form an opinion. By the way, you have an opinion of Jesus too, no matter who you are. Right now, if you're sitting here or if you're listening in, you have an opinion about who Jesus is. And your opinion, listen, your opinion forms your doctrine, forms what you believe. They believe that Jesus was doing these things because he was in league with the Lord of Flies, a reference to Satan himself. That's what they believed. And Jesus is going to correct them. They're attributing the power that Jesus is showing to not the Holy Spirit, for the Bible says he did these miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, but to Satan himself. Boy, I tell you, with what they believe, can you imagine believing that? They're just a breath away from eternity, and they're going the wrong way. Believing this doctrine. He does this by Beelzebub. Powered by Beelzebub. That's their doctrine. That's the way they believed. Listen, have you ever heard of the unpardonable sin? We've all heard of it, but not everybody knows what it means. If you come from certain traditions, there are churches and movements and groups that have made up what the unpardonable sin is. Well, if you don't attend this church, it's an unpardonable sin. That's blasphemy. Oh, if you commit this sin or that sin, it's unpardonable. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for all sin. Did you know that? He died for them all. The unpardonable sin, frankly, is quite difficult to commit. You would have to live your whole life denying the constant wooing, that's the old English word, wooing, the flirtation of the Holy Spirit to bring you to Jesus. Please don't confuse this with signing up for some church membership. The Spirit of God could care less about you signing up for church membership. The Holy Spirit speaks to every person and convicts them of their sins. Look, today, don't you dare, but today, if you go out this evening and you have a hot date with Bubbles and things get out of hand, it's just not good. And you get yourself in trouble, and there's that thought in your mind, man, I should not have done this. That's not Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin. Conviction. For you to commit the unpardonable sin is to keep believing that Jesus is not the answer. It's to keep believing you don't need him. It's to keep believing that you don't need salvation. You'll do it yourself. You'll save yourself. And after you save yourself, you can get up into heaven and ask the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father to scoot over because now there's four of you up there. You can't do that. This is so serious. The unpardonable sin is to live your life and to throw off the conviction of God, to throw off the love of God, to say you don't need Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross, and it's to die in your sins. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to say no to the Spirit for the remainder of your life until the day that you die. Jesus said in Matthew 12:31, jot this down. This is terrifying. And note this as I read it. Mark your opinion. Who is Christ? And what of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. If anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man, that is Jesus, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. By their fruit, or by its fruit you will know it. Brood of vipers, he said, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance, here it is, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So they said to Jesus, you're doing this because you're in league with Satan. What an insane thing to say. Have you noticed, though, when people reject Christ, they get into the stupidest things? They believe the nuttiest stuff. It's almost as though God lets them go.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called When Kingdoms Collide. Thanks for being with us today. You know, our message today is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, did you know that Christianity is based on fact? Defending one's Christian faith has just become a whole lot easier with our current featured resource called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh and Sean McDowell. This updated classic invites you to bring your questions and doubts to the table, and it doesn't shy away from the tough questions. A treasure trove of evidence for the cause of Christ, it's an indispensable book on how to defend your faith against the harshest of critics and skeptics. Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours today for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.